Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special tonight. Again, what a blessing it's been just already just being in church tonight. Have your Bibles with you. If you'd look with me to the book of Luke in chapter 15. Luke in chapter 15. Sunday nights, we've been for some time now just preaching and teaching on little-known Bible characters that have a powerful message for us. And I trust that you have learned some things about some Bible characters that you haven't known before. And tonight we're looking at a very familiar passage of Scripture. And most know Luke chapter 15, the passage of Scripture we're going to be reading has to do with the prodigal son. And there's been many a messages, and I've preached many a messages on the prodigal son. And I've even preached quite a few messages on the older son and some of his behavior. But as far as I know, I've never preached a message on the little-known Bible character we're looking at tonight, and that is on the father. The father of the two sons. The father of the two sons. And so if you'll stand with me, we're going to read here. We're going to start reading in verse 11 and read all the way down to verse 32. The Bible says in verse 11, "And he said, a certain man had two sons. And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will rise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, Bring forth the best robe and put it on him, put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, Thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answering said to his father, Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, Son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we do bow before you now, we thank you once again for the privilege to be in church. Thank you for your presence in this place. Thank you for this holy word that you have preserved for us, that we might study it and hear it taught and preached and learn these biblical principles that we live our lives by. And I pray tonight, God, that you'd help each one of us here to be able to open up and receive that which you have for us individually and collectively as a church. Empower the preaching of thy word once again. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Well, the father with two sons. And first of all here, we find the father of a rebellious son. Chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, reveal to some things about the younger son and also about the time of life it was for the father. A time of life where the father would need to allow the son to start making his own decisions for life. Something that I counsel parents from the beginning of parenthood all the way through old age, and that is you raise your children to one day leave the home. That's God's plan. That's God's will. Matter of fact, that's one of the things that he commands in understanding marriage is that you leave mother and father. You don't forsake them, but you leave them and you establish your own Christian home. And then your children will establish their own Christian home and on and on and on. We raise our children to give them the best opportunity possible to turn out right. And we would hope that they would follow in the instructions and the training that they received if they were raised in a Christian home. And we would hope when they would reach that certain age where they need to start making their own decisions that they would make right decisions. And so I believe we have here a father who had raised his sons in a right way. I believe they both experienced some of the very same things. They both experienced the testimony of the father. They both experienced what the father wanted to give them, and not just the inheritance, but in raising them right, raising them to understand who God is, raising them to give them the best opportunity possible. And when you're raising your children for the Lord, you're giving them the best opportunity possible to make right decisions and to turn out right. No doubt the father here comes to the end because the one son, the younger son, wants him to give him the inheritance. So the father must have been looking at some point and maybe getting close to that where he was going to have to turn this over to his sons. And so in order to do that, he would have to give the eldest son 2/3 and the younger son would receive 1/3. Just by the law and what was taking place here, that's what would have been taking place. And so when the younger son says, it's time, if you will, for you to retire and turn the business over to us, is basically, I believe, what was taking place here. And so the father, he divided unto them. He just didn't give the son what he wanted. He realized at this time it could be time at this point in life to turn things over. And so he divided the inheritance of the younger, gave the younger son his inheritance, gave the older son his inheritance, and somewhat was looking at as what we'd look at today as retirement, turning the business over to his children. Now, in the cycle of life, parents play a different role in their children's lives. We believe that as the Bible teaches us, when we have children, then we ought to raise them according to God's plan. And that's where Ephesians in chapter 6 comes in. And everyone here, no doubt, has studied this. You've heard it preached upon. And it is a powerful passage of Scripture when it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Now, again, children don't understand that, but parents understand that. And so parents understanding that need to make sure that they're raising their children to obey them as the authority in their lives, as the one that their children are dependent upon. They could not exist without them having someone in their lives to take care of them. And so children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So as children are heritage of the Lord, then parents receive them and they are to raise them as God wants them to be raised, and they are to be the authority in raising them. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise. That's what we need to instill within our children. You honor and you respect your mother and your father. And if a father sees the children disrespecting their mother, they need to be disciplined and for that and taught that. If the mother sees the children disrespecting their father, they need to be disciplined and they need to be taught differently because they are to honor their parents. And we instill this within them while they are young. Raise them that way, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. A promise, the first promise to the children. in our lives is that you understand that you are to learn from your parents and always honor them. And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And bringing them up as God would have us to. So we find that first of all, this idea of who's in charge needs to be established. Parental authority needs to be established in the hearts and the minds of the children. They do not run the home. They should not be allowed to run the home. Amen. They need to be disciplined. They need to be taught. And so Proverbs in chapter 29, this is the very first role of a parent, a disciplinarian. Some still, they've been raising children for 20, 30 years and still have never understood that. Amen. And which is sad because children need to be raised and they need to be disciplined. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15 to 17. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom. The rod and reproof, that is correction, disciplining them, will give them wisdom. But a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. That's a biblical principle that parents need to understand. When the wicked, the Bible goes on, when the wicked are multiplied, transgressors increase, but the righteous shall see their fall. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give delight unto thy soul. Wow. Correct thy son. Means God says, I'm giving you the authority. Don't look to get the authority from the government. Get the authority from God and raise them as God wants them to be raised and raise them as loving them and wanting to do the very best thing for them to give them the very best chance possible to make right decisions when it comes time for them to make right decisions. They need to start out by being raised to honor and respect and obey their parents. Physical discipline. As they get older, a different way to discipline an older child. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. I think that sometimes when you try to treat an older child, an older son or older daughter like a little child, then you're going to do more to provoke them than you are to help them. It's different for all ages, but if you look at Proverbs chapter 13, Proverbs in chapter 13, this is what this father understood. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son. Whether you understand it or not, you're doing the very worst thing that you could do for them by not disciplining them. But he that loveth him chasteneth him. Look right here. B times. That means you discipline them, physical discipline, before it's too late. If there's a time when physical discipline is not going to get the right kind of response, a biblical response from the child, then we have to realize that there is a certain time in raising our children that it will not be for their benefit. It will actually provoke them. And so we have to understand physical discipline is for a certain cycle of time. And at some point, they're going to be raised beyond that to where the physical discipline is not going to actually do what it used to do when they were younger. And the wise parent realizes that I need to understand my child. I'm not going to give you an age on this. I think it's different from every child. A parent needs to understand the cycle, and you need to understand when you're the cycle, you can start seeing physical discipline is actually doing more harm than good. It is starting to provoke instead of helping the child. And you pray for wisdom in raising your children. I hope you do that. You need wisdom to know only what God can know about our children. And so at that time, then you start realizing that, all right, now I need to start using leverage. Amen. You start taking things away. And not only that, start giving them a little encouragement to do good and letting them know, if you do right, then you get this. You get my trust, but it has to be earned. You have to prove to me that you are responsible enough to give this kind of leeway to. In order for me to be able to trust you, you have to prove to me that you are trustworthy. So there's a different cycle, and we can't go all in this because this is just a part of the message tonight. But the understanding there is, there's one point, different cycle, as your children are being raised, it's going to come to this cycle. And then after that, there's a final cycle that they will achieve and will continue to have concerning you as their parents. There's no limitation on how long they are to honor their parents. It's a lifelong commitment. As long as your parents are alive, you honor them. You're no longer under their authority, but you honor them. And understanding, if you have godly parents, that their wisdom is something that God would use to help you. There's no one that's going to love you like your parents. A godly parent loves you. Amen. Even your wife will not do for you what your mother does for you. Amen. And that's not her place. She's not your mother. And even your husband won't do for you what your dad will do for you. You girls remember that. Amen. That's right. But they don't have to, because they're not your dad. That's a special place that God gives, is your parents. That's why it's a very hard loss. It's a void when you lose your parents. No matter how old you are, it is a void, because God has instilled something within you to be able to look to your parents for. Amen. So what is that stage, if you will? Finally, Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 24. The father of the righteous shall greatly rejoice. That means that they turned out the way you wanted them to. They turned out the way you raised them. And he that begetteth a wise child shall have joy of him. Thy father and thy mother shall be glad, and she that bare thee shall rejoice. There's nothing that brings more joy into the heart of a parent than to see their children turning out right, doing right, and raising the grandchildren the very same way that they were raised themselves, to give their grandchildren the very, very best chance possible to make right decisions and turn out right. But look at verse 26. I want you to see this. My son, give me thine heart, and let thine eyes observe my ways. A parent's always going to have a certain type of influence over their children. And the godly parent, what you strive for is your child's heart for the rest of their lives. For the rest of their lives, you want their heart. You want to play that role that God has for you to play in order to be a proper influence to them. Wow. The younger son, this is what I believe this father had been doing. And he turns it over. Possibly the younger son had deceived his father, thinking that I'll do right with it. But it was time to find out just if he had received what you tried to instill within him. He was of that age that he was going to make his own decisions. Well, and as you know, he went out and he wasted it. The idea there of prodigal means wasteful. Not only did he waste the finances, but more importantly, he wasted the opportunity that his father had given to him to live a right kind of life. Wasted that opportunity. Now he's gone. They didn't have cell phones and connections back then. He was gone. His father did not know. He probably heard that he had wasted his living, but he knew that he left wrong. So the father of the rebellious prodigal son, what could he do now? Didn't make the decisions that he wanted to make. He has a free will. Listen to me, you had a free will to make the decisions when you got to that place, and everyone else has that. Even your children are going to have that very same opportunity, because that's what God's going to judge them on. They will be held accountable for their free will and what they did with it. And those that had greater opportunity are going to be held at a higher level of accountability. So what does the father do? He had to trust in how you've raised him. Trust in how what you have instilled within that prodigal, even though they're no longer around. Trust and understand you did the very best that you could do in giving them this opportunity. Trust in how you raised them, and then keep yourself in a position to be able to help a repentive son. Verses 14, in chapter 15 there, verses 14, all the way down to verse 24. This is what took place in this prodigal son's life. Prayer was working, even when the father could not have seen it. What he had instilled within that son was there. He had just been blinded to it. Even though the father could not see this, he had to trust that he knew this is what was going on. He knew, because he had instilled the right things in this prodigal son's life, that at some point that prodigal son would have an opportunity to look at this which was instilled within him and understand that the lifestyle that he chose was not the lifestyle that he was raised to live. And the prayers give that boy that opportunity to make right decisions. I believe that God answers the prayers of parents for their children. He will not force the child, but every time you pray, I believe the Spirit of God would open a door of opportunity somehow, some way, to prick the heart of that child, to tell that child, this is not the way you were raised to live. And so you trust in how you raise them, and you never give up, and you pray. And keep yourself in a position to help them when they come back. If the father would have allowed that to destroy his life, what hope would that prodigal have had when he come back if the father's farm was gone? If the father was no longer there? If the help was not available to him? Amen. Well, the father of an angry son. The prodigal came back. They're rejoicing. They killed the fatted calf. I mean, they're excited. This is what the father had been praying for. This is what he knew. This is how I raised my son. I knew it was instilled within him. And now he's come home, and I'm praising God and rejoicing. But there's the other son. Same father. But there's another son now that's overwhelmed with anger. Luke chapter 15, verse 25. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry and would not go in. What did the father do? Therefore came his father out and entreated him. Can I tell you that anyone can be blinded to God's will for their lives? It wasn't just the prodigal that got blinded. But now, the older son was blinded. Children will always need the counsel of their godly parents. And so not only was the father aware of what he needed to do for the prodigal, but now he had to turn his focus on the one that had made the right decisions and that stayed at home and was doing exactly what he wanted. But now he finds that this anger is going to control his older son, and this anger will destroy as much as a wild lifestyle will destroy. The older son had a good argument. If this was the only life we have to live, you made your bed, live in it. That's what you chose. Now suffer the consequences. Is that really the kind of spirit that we all have? That's angry. Now, why was he so angry? Maybe jealous, a little jealousy. I think it clearly reveals a little jealousy. But the older son was raised right and made better decisions than the younger all along until now. But at this point, he was blinded, possibly by the two-thirds of the inheritance. He's coming back because he wants more money. How can you not think about that? You wasted it all. You know, I've got two-thirds. You wasted your one-third. Now you want to come back. You want part of my two-thirds. I've seen people do some crazy things, even to family members, over an inheritance. It's sad. Those of you that have been through that, you think, my goodness. Human nature, sinful greed. Money will do strange things to people. And when, if you're not careful, it can have a negative impact on you, and you need to have some godly counsel. The younger son was sensing that. He was angry, jealous, but verse 30 helps us here. It says, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, he's devoured the third that you gave him. And now you're starting to give him some that's really like rightly mine. That fatted calf was the part of the other two-thirds. Everything else here is mine. This is my inheritance. And yeah, as long as you're still alive, you can use it, do this and do that. But what you're doing now is you're starting to give him that which belonged to me. You see that? And if this life was all there was to look forward to and have, and you wanted to hold on to this life and all the gain here, then yeah, I could see that. But he wasn't raised like that. He was raised to understand who God is. His focus was on a worldly mentality instead of a spiritual victory that had just taken place. The spiritual victory that his father would have shared with him was, this is the answer to my prayers. Been praying for my prodigal son. This is your brother. You should have been praying for your brother. This is an answer to prayer that he has come home. He was lost and found. He was dead. He's alive. He's home. That's a spiritual way to look at it. It brought joy to his father. It made him happy. See, sometimes we lose sight of others. He was focused on himself. Focused on selfishness of thinking that his father was doing something for his son that he hadn't done for him. Thinking that he was using his inheritance to give to his son. Listen to me. No, look at your father. You ought to have enough love for your father to love what makes him happy. You might have a fallout with a sibling, but listen to me, as long as your parents are alive, you ought to strive for unity for your parents' sake, if nothing else. Because there's nothing that can bring blessing or that can hurt as much as your own children's unity and family. Yeah. He failed to look on the fact that it was an answer to prayer. It was rejoicing of his father. It made his father rejoice. And it was a return of his own brother. Verse 32, it was meet. This is the way it should be. This is how I've raised you. This is biblical. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad. For this, he looks at him and says, he's your brother. If you're thinking clearly, you would rejoice because your brother who was dead is now made alive, who was lost is now found, who was living an ungodly lifestyle but now has returned to do right. You see, the father of the two children had learned the Bible. He had learned the things of God. And because he knew the ways of God, he knew how to counsel them. He was able to counsel the rebellious son who come home. And he was able to counsel the angry son who stayed home. A willingness to forgive and to restore. Ephesians in chapter 4, just about done here. Ephesians in chapter 4. Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 30. The Bible says, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. It means you can do that. And what will do it is what he tells you to turn away from. Let all bitterness. If you're having a bitter spirit, you're grieving the Spirit of God, you're not going to have joy in your own life. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. He had the counsel for the prodigal son who now has seen the light and understands what was instilled within him. And now he wants to live that way. And now has the counsel for the older son who had been making the right decisions, but now has allowed this to blind him, and he was losing his own peace. And he was able to help him to see how that in order to have the joy of the Lord, you have to have a forgiving spirit. Not saying that we should give people a free pass to lie, to steal, or to do wrong. He addressed that right before the passage we just read. Turn back at Ephesians in chapter 4, verse 25. Wherefore, put away lying. Speak every man truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. We ought to get angry at sin. We ought to get angry at the things that will hinder the peace of God in our lives. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. The devil is working in both their lives. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace to the hearers. He says, we are not condoning what he has done, and we are not going to let him come home and continue to live that same lifestyle. We are going to help him to get back on the right track and to get this out of his life. But that's the goal. Forgiveness and restoration. Praise God for the wisdom and the compassion of the Father who is able to help both his boys. He was able to help the one that Satan had blinded to go into lasciviousness. But he was also able to help the one who stayed but was going to let anger and bitterness destroy him. Praise God for the wisdom of the Father. Oh, help us that we might have the very same wisdom to help our children. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. Wisdom and compassion. Never lose sight of that. Wisdom is to have the knowledge and to know how to counsel. And the compassion is a willingness to do it. A willingness to forgive and try to make right that which has been wronged. Father, as we bow before you tonight, we thank you for this testimony that you've given to us of this father with the two sons. God, I don't know just how it would impact each one of our lives. There might be children here tonight that need to turn back to honoring their parents. There need to be parents here tonight that turn back to being the kind of parents that you want them to be. There might be siblings here tonight that need to make it right with each other. Whatever the case, I pray that you'd speak to us tonight and help each one to know how they are to apply this message that they heard this evening. Bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.